In 1989, Cynthia Endo asked a crucial question that still resonates today. Where are the women? Initially intended for the world of international politics, this query has sparked the curiosity of environmental activists and feminists alike who aim to challenge the narratives of great men that have traditionally dominated our understanding of the ecological and scientific landscape. As we celebrate Mother's Day this year, it is worth highlighting the remarkable contribution of women, mothers, and young girls worldwide in restoring our planet and leading the charge toward achieving climate justice. From grassroots activism to innovative climate solutions, these unsung heroes are making a significant impact and inspiring change across the globe.
I think there's still a stereotype of what a scientist looks like, and it is this crazy scientist guy, you know, and it is a man. In general, people, when you ask someone how a scientist looks for you, people usually say, okay, this is a man and it's he with this or these features. So fortunately, on my journey, I have had the support and the encouragement of women in different roles, like friends, directors, teachers, that helped me feel confident, supported, and feel able to navigate my challenges in a different way. And for that, I believe that having female role models is crucial in the career when you are a young scientist, because it makes everything easier and everything looks more achievable in some ways.
The efforts to uncover women's experience also unearth a number of tension. Perhaps most obviously, women do not make up a homogeneous or coherent category. As decades of scholarship have shown, women's experiences are profoundly shaped not only by their femaleness, but also by categories of race, class, nation, sexual orientation, age, and more.
I know that climate change disproportionately affects women in different ways. So women bear the brunt of climate-related disasters and environmental degradation due to existing gender inequalities, socioeconomic disparities. And in many communities, women are first responsible for securing water, food, for their families, so making them more vulnerable to the impacts of climate change. And additionally to that, traditional gender roles may limit women's access to resources, decision-making spaces, processes. All that exacerbates the vulnerability to climate change impacts.
In this episode, we have a special feature for our ongoing podcast series called The Crossroad Voices of Justice. We wanted to bring more voices from the field to the forefront. Even though this episode is being aired on Mother's Day, it's important to note that we should listen to women's voices every day, as they have made and continue to make significant contribution and discoveries across generation in every space they occupy. Anneli Busto is a young and passionate scientist from Buenos Aires, Argentina. She's currently pursuing her PhD and leading a research that aims to understand the strategies and measures that can be taken to support the great pollinators in the agricultural system. Her research also focuses on increasing the habitats of these pollinators in our food systems.
I consider myself a very passionate and enthusiastic person in general. So for me, everything related with discovery, wondering, and understanding is absolutely fascinating. And related to nature, I'm a young scientist working in the space of ecology and nature conservation. And also I consider myself a climate activist dedicated to the regeneration of our planet. So my journey into ecology began with a deep root love for the natural world from a young age. And after that, I pursued my academic path and I studied biology at the university. And I just fell in love with nature and I became increasingly aware of the urgent need to protect and restore the planet.
As soon as we began our conversation, We delved straight into discussing the factors that motivated her to become a scientist, with a particular focus on conservation, despite the field being predominantly male-dominated. I was intrigued by her story and her perspective, and I eagerly listened to her response to my question. Here is what she shared with me.
I think, as in any field, it's not the same to be a man or a woman. So science is still a very male-dominated field, especially earth science, you know, working with land, taking decisions with the land. So I think there's still a stereotype of what a scientist looks like. And it is this crazy scientist guy, you know, and it is a man. In general, people, when you ask someone how a scientist looks for you, people usually say, okay, this is a man and it's he with this or these features. So fortunately, on my journey, I have had the support and the encouragement of women in different roles, like friends, directors, teachers, that helped me feel confident, supported, and feel able to navigate my challenges in a different way. And for that, I believe that having female role models is crucial in the career when you are a young scientist, because it makes everything easier and everything looks more achievable in some ways.
What inspired you to focus on habitat restoration for pollinators in agriculture ecosystem for your PhD research?
I think that my inspiration came first from the observation of natural world, because pollinators are such an amazing beings and they are absolutely necessary for the rest of life forms, including humans. So I started to study them when I was in Brazil during my master's degree. And then I continue doing it now in my country, in Argentina, during my PhD. And what I'm trying to do is to understand what we can do, what strategies we can apply in agricultural systems to support them and to increase their habitats in our food systems. So this research is also based in the alarming decline of pollinators populations that requires to explore solutions, and not just to benefit agricultural productivity, but also the biodiversity conservation, and not just pollinators, but also all the rest of life forms that are connected with them.
Although she's just a few months into her studies, Anali hopes her research will show that habitat restoration initiatives in Argentina are boosting pollinator support in agricultural landscape. She aims to find not only an increase in pollinator abundance and diversity, but also significant improvements in landscape level crop yields and soil health.
So basically the aim is, after decades of destructive agriculture and landscape homogenization, that's the process undergoing here, to achieve agriculture considering heterogeneity, habitat diversity, resources, and all that ensures that food production can be compatible with maintaining the life network in those landscapes.
And going back to gender and restoration, from your experience, how does climate change disproportionately affect women, particularly in the context you've worked with?
Well, I think not from my direct experience, as I've been fortunate to have a secure condition and I have never had to directly face such a situation. But I know that being a Latin American woman, I know that climate change disproportionately affects women in different ways. So women bear the brunt of climate-related disasters and environmental degradation due to existing gender inequalities, socioeconomic disparities. And in many communities, women are first responsible for securing water, food for their families, so making them more vulnerable to the impacts of climate change, such as droughts, floods, and crop failures, make their families and very, very vulnerable to those problems. And additionally to that, traditional gender roles may limit women's access to resources, decision-making spaces, processes. So all that exacerbates the vulnerability to climate change impacts.
And if we can talk about like integrating gender perspectives in climate solution, why do you think it's crucial to do so?
So something I try to do, or what I'm attentive to do in the projects I work on is to give opportunities to other women. No matter what it is about, I try to include more women, give them voice, decision-making power, action, visibility. And unfortunately, only we can take care of that space. We women, each other, we can care of that space and balance those gender asymmetries in any field. From my position as a scientist, I'm contributing to this by providing mentoring spaces from individuals taking their first steps in science or working in nature. I'm currently mentoring 5 people, 3 women and 2 men from 3 countries. And I believe that having someone who listens to you, understands you, and helps you to see clearly your next steps is very important because it provides security and joy along your path. And for me as a mentor, it is very rewarding and beautiful to do it. So I think that's the way I have to add more value to other women, to other human beings in general, but I try to focus on help other women to start their careers, to take decisions when that's hard. And yeah.
What challenges have you encountered when trying to implement gender responsive approaches in conservation projects?
Well, I think the first challenge is to make visible that problem, to make it visible that this problem exists, because there is a widespread resistance to accepting that gender disparities exist in science and in any space related. So if I try to downplay the problem, if it's not that serious, you know, and this resistance make it harder to find solutions. And to illustrate this, I will share something I read a few days ago. I was reading the requirements for an application to a very prestigious laboratory working on ecology and restoration in Zurich. And at the end of the application, I read this message. If you are a woman, member of indigenous communities, or consider yourself a sexual dissident, apply anyway, even if you do not meet all the above mentioned requirements. Various studies show that these groups only submit their applications when they meet every single point, and if they don't, they self-exclude. So I find that example important because it shows how violence and pressure are exerted at a psychological level first, causing us to change our way of acting because we feel inadequate or even self-excluded. And something that clearly does not happen in the male community. That's always over women or these minorities. So this also shows how much work lies ahead, and both individually and collectively, to really fill that gap and to have equally opportunities for men and women and for all people in general.
That is an amazing example you gave. And to just go on over your experience as a woman in conservation and biodiversity, what barriers have you faced yourself, and how have you overcome some of these barriers?
Well, I think I could name many barriers, but I believe the first one was believing it was possible to work in this field, in science or restoration or conservation, that I didn't believe at the beginning that I could start and have this successful career. And that seems to be the first aspect we need to work on, opening the door for more girls and young women so they see that it is possible for them to study, to work, be scientists, and make significant transformations in society and also in their own lives.
And what advice would you give to young women aspiring to enter the field of ecology and conservation?
My advice is something, if I would have that when I started my career, all will be really easier for me. I would tell them that they have everything they need to do it, that both good and bad moments will exist equally, and that both are temporary. But mainly in the moments of low energy or insecure uncertainties, wherever, I would say that they should rely on other people, mentors, loved ones, and if they are women, even better, to feel supported and to feel stronger to face those challenges. So yeah, that's my advice.
Before asking you the last final question, can you tell me a little bit about your journey and your experience working as a restoration steward, as a GLF restoration steward?
Well, the Restoration Stewards program has been an amazing experience. It was life-changing at the personal and at the professional level, because first, it made me feel very able to do many things that at the beginning I was very unconfident about my capacities, and it was like to put some good energy on my project and on me and say like, you can do this, you can face all these challenges and you can pursue these objectives. So the project itself grew a lot during the Restoration Stewards program, but also my career, my network, and my self-confidence really increased. And I hope that many people can access a program as the Restoration Stewards, because it really helps you to put your project and your career in another step.
So the final question that I'll ask is, looking forward, how do you envision and see the future of gender and restoration? And what steps are needed to achieve this vision?
Well, my vision, I think relating these two concepts, my vision is for women to inhabit every space at all levels and in every domain of restoration and land stewardship. As entrepreneurs, as scientists, as communicators, investors, implementers, or wherever it may be, I envision all of us actively engaged with our mother earth and doing genuine decision-making power and making tangible impact in the world. I think that's what is lacking today. So that's my wish for all women and for all human beings in general, that all of them have the space and the ability to dream, to become who they want to be without conforming to anyone but themselves, and to have a stage abundant with opportunities to be and to grow alongside our wonderful Mother Earth. So that's what I would like to see, and that's something in which any organization, it doesn't matter what the field, should focus to have a real gender equality and, well, happier people, I think.
Thank you for listening to the Crossroad Voices of Justice, a podcast series on climate justice brought to you by CDKN in partnership with the Unapologetic Human Podcast. I'm Juvenal Vitalis, and that's conclude our episode. Be sure to check the show notes for more information about today's topic and to learn more about Anali Bustos and her contribution. To learn more and get involved with the podcast, follow us on Instagram at the Unapologetic Human Pod. To learn about CDKN, visit cdkn.org. A special thanks goes out to the team at the Global Landscape Forum and everyone who made this podcast series possible. The music for this episode was created by Blue Dot Session. This episode and the Crossroads series were made possible with the aid of a grant from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Netherlands and the International Development Research Center, IDRC, Canada.